Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It has been a wild sports weekend in the Metroplex. And if you missed the other news this morning, Myles Garrett, the reigning defensive player of the year, has officially requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. But right now, we bring on former Dallas Maverick broadcaster. We love him. It is Devin Harris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Terrified, Devin.
Yeah.
Horrible.
How did you find out about this? Because everyone continues to say, wow, it feels like a shock to most of us. How did you hear about this? And did you believe the first person who told you?
We'll say I found out like everybody else found out. Initially, I think when Chance put it out, I thought everybody thought he was hacked. And as the reports came through, you know, it became more and more real. And it's just one of those things that you don't think it ever can happen. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that, like, they kept this really, really tight and nobody got a wince of what they were thinking about. But, yeah, I think just shocked and found out like everybody else.
The prevailing, I'll just speak to me. I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to lump everybody else in, though I know other people have this opinion. The thing that I don't totally understand, and I would love your take or whatever you can tell me about this, is if you wanted to trade Luka because you think X, Y, and Z, I get all of that. This just feels like an odd decision to shop a generational player at one place, which is what it feels like happened and why I feel like perhaps we did not get anywhere near fair value.
To speak to that, I would say what I've heard is we've seen with different situations when guys are shot publicly, a.k.a. the Jimmy Butler situation.
Right.
And I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of circus. And now they might not have gotten everything back for him, but, I mean, they still got a pretty damn good player in AD. They really believe in Max Christie, and obviously you got a first-round pick on top of that. But I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of media circus distraction around the team, where they're still trying to win a championship here. They feel like AD definitely gives them a shot to do so, you know, one of the better two-way players. And if you can avoid the kind of distraction that comes with a trade of this magnitude, that they were definitely going to go that way.
I don't know if you remember this at all. We were talking about how Max Christie and Jane Hardy were in the same draft. Do you happen to remember going back? Like, I know Max Christie went a couple picks before Hardy. If the Mavs really liked him, if they would have taken him at 37 instead, had he still been available?
I have not heard that, but I think, you know, Max and what he's done and as a starting player, I think he's turned a lot of heads. As far as his two-way ability, his ability to shoot the three, the Mavs were coveting a wing defender. Now we get a very young one that's coming into his own. And like I said, that's the first thing kind of Nico told us. He was like, don't sleep on Max Christie. We're really excited about, you know, his addition and what he can do.
Devin Harris joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Was there ever a hint that there was tension on or off the court amongst anybody with Luka? Was that a feeling around there?
It wasn't a feeling. I just think with the looming Supermax contract up and coming, and Nico pretty much said this is in his press yesterday.
Yesterday,
like,
yeah.
Once you put that on the table, like, you're on the clock. Now, whether he accepts it, which could be a great thing, or he declines it, like, you're on the clock. And they just felt like they wanted to kind of get ahead of it. I don't think, like you said yesterday, there wasn't any indication that Luka would not have signed it if it offered to him, but they didn't feel comfortable going that route, and that's why they made the move that they did.
So, Devin, I'm going to do this. I know you went to the Nets for Jason Kidd, and I don't know. I have no clue what your audience was like in New Jersey at the time, like if they were excited about you getting there or they were just disappointed with Kidd, but I think Anthony Davis is not going to be welcomed here. I don't think he's going to get booed. Don't get me wrong. It's a very cordial fan base. I've played in New York. You've played in New York. It's different.
Right.
But I think, how's Anthony Davis going to feel when most likely it's not going to be a big reception for him here?
answer that question for Anthony Davis. I do feel like my reception in New York was well welcome, but I think it's a different scenario where, you know, J. Kidd asked out, right? As opposed to the team, you know, just trading him without any consent. So I think that that's the difference that we're looking at here. And I think Anthony Davis is smart enough to understand, you know, the magnitude of what's happened. But also I feel like, although it may not be the reception of, you know, coming down from the heavens, but this move that Nico made is about winning, and winning cures all. So if he can come here and win at the highest level, I think that's what they're banking on.
So let's talk about that a little bit more and how you think, specifically Anthony Davis. I know you were just kind of talking about Max Christie as well. How Anthony Davis fits on this team. I know he'd wanted to play the four more. How do you see like Davis and Gafford working together, or hopefully once we get into the playoffs, Davis and Lively? Like, kind of give us your thoughts about how that front court could all break down.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to start him at the four. He may finish games at the five, but he's definitely going to play more four. Defensively, I mean, we're going to be a monster. I mean, between, you know, PJ and Max Christie and AD and Gafford and Lively, I mean, we got defense pretty much covered. It's going to be fun to watch. Offensively, I think they still have some things to figure out philosophy-wise of how they're going to make it work. I don't think it's a concern, but, you know, from a chemistry standpoint, it's going to take a little time to gel. I mean, we saw the situation when we got Kyrie that didn't happen right away. But when we got PJ and Gaff last season, it was seamless. I mean, only time will tell what that chemistry looks like and how it all fits together. You hope it, you know, we can get it figured out by the playoffs. But I think defensively, though, we definitely have one of the better defensive teams in the NBA now.
How do you feel like the guys in that room take it? Like, initially, it's kind of feel like a shock to them too, and they got to realize we got to go play basketball again.
Yeah, I think everybody that I talked to yesterday, I mean, from the staff, from players, everybody was a little shocked, a little shell shocked. Now, have to go on to play a team like Cleveland after a move like this, I don't think everybody was in the right mindset. But like you said, yeah, we're still professional. Everybody's still got a job to do. Hopefully, guys coming back from their rest and playing against Philly tomorrow would be a better outing. But yeah, I think, I don't think anybody would blame guys for being a little shocked and being out of sorts after that, after being making a move like this.
For Max Christie, you'd kind of talked about it, but for people not familiar, this is somebody who's moved pretty rapidly from second round pick to starting essentially half of the Lakers games this year. What all does he bring to the table?
Well, he's been guarding pretty much their best player on a nightly basis. I think he's also shooting about 38-39% from three. So, you know, we get another 3-and-D type of guy, young, athletic. And like I said, he just kind of fits into the time frame. And they were, like I said, they're really excited about that addition. They were looking for another wing defender, and they secured that.
When you think back, though, to the Luka time, do you have a specific thing that sticks with you about him? Is there a play that you're going to always have, like, snapped into your mind about, and that's what that dude was whenever he was here?
I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we just, you know, put it down to one? I mean, my first year with him, I mean, the shot in the corner against Portland, right? Watching him score 73 against Atlanta. The shot against Rudy Gobert in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, those are some of the ones that just off the top of my head that always come to mind.
The tears, sorry. Okay. The tears are starting to come right now.
Nico remembers him giving up a wide open dunk when the Mavericks started off 5-7. He remembers he couldn't emotionally control himself in game three of an NBA Finals that was still available. So that's what Nico remembers.
What would be your message, Devin, then, to the fans? Because I know Nico's like kind of concerned with the fans. More importantly, you've said it a couple of times, like, it's about winning and winning now and potentially in a tight window. What would be your message to the fans who are like, I don't know what to do this morning? Like, my favorite player is gone. The guy who I have all the jerseys of is gone.
Yeah, it's definitely tough emotionally, especially when you're so much invested in a player. And I feel like when you draft a guy and you watch him grow into this global superstar, like, everybody's kind of with him. But I would just probably say, let's look for a load of patience. I mean, we don't know what this trade is going to be like. This is going to be kind of a wait and see type of thing. But the motivation behind the front office is, you know, they believe this move gets them over the hump. Now, whether that happens or not, only time will tell. But we got a pretty good player in return. And whether you think it's enough or not, I mean, Anthony Davis is a great two-way player.
Yeah.
And he's won on every level that he's played at.
What's the boldest thing? Go ahead.
I just got to ask for patience. I mean, like I said, I understand the upset of the fans, and I get it. But, you know, this front office made this move with winning a championship in mind. And whether you agree with that or not, I would say just give them a little bit of patience.
I'm really glad that in my personal life or my professional life, bold moves that I make don't have to be addressed by everybody.
By everybody
in the
city. I
don't know how you feel about that. Like, if you make bold moves in your life and only your family knows about it, and they're like, I don't know about that, but nobody questions you, that feels much nicer than, I appreciate Nico facing the media and everything yesterday and answering the questions.
I mean, when you make a move like that, like, yeah, you gotta face the music. And you know, he believes in the move, and he's got everybody on board. Obviously, ownership had to sign off on it. And like he said in the press conference, like, whether this happens and be successful, only time will tell. And that he'll be judged on that at that appropriate time. But I think right now, I think there should be some excitement about what this could possibly be in the near future.
Well, this is how I felt whenever you got traded away, though, Devin. So this is two times in my lifetime.
It definitely gave me a little bit of PTSD, I'm not going to lie. And Jay Kipp brought it up in the press conference. Like, you know, I've been part of big trades. I'm like, yeah, you have.
Well, man, thank you very, very much for all the insight. And we'd love to talk with you, obviously, anytime you're free.
Well, for sure. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Devin Harris right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He's doing everything he can to try and help us get through this, Kevin.
I get it. Look, and Nico did say one thing that I was like, I'm probably inclined to agree with that, but man, this is really putting it out there on the table. If it doesn't work, like, this is all you'll ever be remembered for a lot of us. But he goes, and when you win, hopefully that will take some of that away. And I get that.
I don't know. This is the thing.
Interesting.
I don't know. If Chicago had traded Michael Jordan, would they, after the first three championships, you know, I mean, he leaves and everything, but they're like, you know, now we're trading him. Are people like, you know what, though? We won, and that was great. Or are they like, no, it's the greatest player we've ever seen walk onto a basketball court. Why are we doing this? Why are we just going to give him to somebody else? He's a guy that we drafted. He wanted to be here. He loved this part of it. Why would you do it? It's just a... one of those where you're just like, you just want to know the real why. A lot of times, Kevin, for me, it's how much of things are spin and how much of things have another story that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then how much of it's true. I think there's three things that are always involved there.
Plus, there can be people out there who believe what they believe that are just heavily in the minority.
Yeah.
Like, you can, that doesn't mean you're spinning.
Nico might completely believe that this move is going to be the difference because, man, we could not get him to stop whining to the refs. It was really affecting, and that's the biggest problem, or whatever it is. He could totally believe that.
This last part probably won't surprise you, but remember in 2020 when Mark Cuban said, if I had to choose between my wife and keeping Luca, catch me at my lawyer's office preparing for a divorce. Mark Cuban came out yesterday and said that he had nothing to do with this Luca trade.
Oh, so he didn't have to... go to the lawyer's office.
Well, I chose his wife.
Yeah, I guess. Man, that would
shame to show. He really had nothing to do with this.
No,
he has nothing to do with
it. Yes.
He cheers for the basketball team like we do, except he has about a 7% ownership stake.
So the people that were crapping on this morning, I know we've done that in the past. This is not on him. Although I do think it would have been hilarious if he put out on social media, I guess I chose my wife. Like, I do think that would have been a funny bit.
You know how women are.
Yes, no. I know, PJ.
Thanks, PJ.